Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the richest of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gillian.
Reading from Matthew chapter 2, visitors from the east. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time that Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.' So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: 'Go and make a careful search for the child. And when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him.' And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
So let's just pray for Christopher and for ourselves. Father, we ask for your blessing on Christopher as he speaks, and speak to our hearts and help us to hear your genuine voice today. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And well, good morning and happy new year to everyone. And I wonder how you're feeling at new year. Personally, I think for me, there's always a sense that I've been playing snakes and ladders, and having landed on square 365, I've just gone down the snake, which takes me back to square one. And here I am today on square three. It's a long way to go. And I think particularly this year, we are maybe facing the new year with a degree of trepidation after the year we've just had and given the ongoing uncertainty. But I want to encourage you though, because having celebrated the birth of Christ, there's work to be done. If you were here on Christmas Day, you would have heard Ian speaking about our need for relationship, horizontal relationship to other humans, and vertical relationships with God. And his chosen reading that day was Luke 2, the story of the shepherds on that first Christmas. I love the shepherds. They were obviously startled by what they saw, but they were told by the heavenly host exactly what they would find, a saviour, the Messiah, and exactly where they would find him, in a manger in the town of David. The town of David was conveniently close by, and so off they went. They say, yes, we believe, let's go and see this. And having been and seen Jesus, they came back to their flocks, marveling. And there are people like that. There are people for whom it's a very simple decision. You give them the facts, the facts make sense, and they adopt them. But there are others for who the journey to faith is not so simple. C.S. Lewis wrote of his own journey, in the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. The journey for the wise men was not easy. We don't know how soon after Jesus's birth they set off, or indeed where they came from. People theorize that it was maybe Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, southern Turkey, northern Syria, possibly Yemen, which was ruled over by kings who were Jews at this time. Yemen is about 1,400 miles from Bethlehem. And according to a little bit of research I've done, 1,400 miles on a camel, quite apart from being very uncomfortable, would take you about 6 months. The kings were obviously willing. They were seeking. But it was a long way. It took a long time, possibly a couple of years. The clues as to how long it took are in verse 11 of our New Testament reading. Unlike the shepherds, the wise men came to a house, not a stable. They saw a child, not a baby. And had we read on as far as verse 16, we would have been reminded that Herod, having been abandoned by the wise men, sent word that all boys 2 years and under should be killed. So he was no longer looking for a baby. He was looking for what we would now call a toddler, a young child. And while they knew that they were looking for the King of the Jews, we can only speculate as to whether or not they were looking for an earthly king, such as themselves, or a heavenly king. But whatever the case, and wherever they came from, throughout their journey, as we heard in verse 9, the star which they had seen when it rose went ahead of them. The star led them. I don't know if you are into science fiction, but the science fiction writer E.E. Smith coined the idea of a tractor beam. Scientists have actually created a real one nowadays, but a tractor beam was a device with the ability to attract one object to another from a distance. Real life tractor beams can only attract very small objects, but in sci-fi and probably in James Bond, they can attract rather larger ones. It was not a torch in the hands of the wise men that illuminated their way. It was a star. It was God's leading. It was God drawing them in. On the 21st of December, we were treated if you were lucky enough to be under a clear sky, to a rare astronomical phenomenon, the appearance of what is known as the Bethlehem Star. This is the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which amazingly are 456 million miles apart, but on the 21st of December were separated by 0.1 of a degree, which gave them the appearance of being a single star, a single very bright star. For us, it was in the southwestern sky, but obviously that would depend on where you're coming from. And there were some wonderful photographs in the press and on social media taken of this great conjunction in different countries around the world. It happens every 20 years or so, but not normally this close. The closeness of this conjunction make it a great conjunction. And this was the first great conjunction since 1623. A lot of these conjunctions take place at night, rather during the day, and are therefore not visible. So this was the closest observable great conjunction since 1226. So we can see nowadays that people seeking Jesus cannot rely on stars. Isaiah, in our Old Testament reading today, was talking to the exiles returning to Jerusalem after years of darkness in exile. And he said in Isaiah 60, verse 1, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you." And the words used here, arise, light and the glory and the radiance, are the same words as used to describe theophanies, when God appears. So if we were to read Matthew 17, verse 2, "There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." That is what Isaiah was recommending to the returning, the people returning to Jerusalem. So I wonder what people see in our faces. Mine is serious in repose, to coin a phrase, which means that I usually look rather grumpy, which is arguably not the image we should be projecting when advertising our faith. We need to find a way to be distinctive, to look distinctive. I'm sure we all can think of people who just somehow radiate God's love from their faces. You just have to see them and know that there is something about them that is different. For the rest of us, those who, like me, have a face that is serious in repose, we have to think of other things. But we need to live distinctively. People need to see that we have hope. They need to be curious about our hope. They need to want to share in our hope. And that's our challenge. Are we tractor beams for God? We were watching Carols from Kings on Christmas Eve. And one of the readings, the last reading, I think, was a lovely little poem by Howard Thurman called "The Work of Christmas." When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. So that's our challenge as we go into the new year, to do all of those things. And we will do it best, I suggest, if we adopt the words of Isaiah, if we arise and shine, for our light has come, the glory of God has risen upon us. Amen.